Hey, it's our Week 12 NFL review and a Panthers 49ers Monday night preview on the Shots Into the Air NFL podcast from FTN Fantasy for Monday, November 24th, 2025. I am Aaron Schatz. You know me as the DVOA guy from FTN Fantasy. He is Mike Tenier. You know him from his Substack at miketenier.substack.com. We are here every Monday and Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern, and we will take your questions live, but this week will be Wednesday. We'll be doing Wednesday, not Thursday. We're not on Thanksgiving.
Oh, Thanksgiving, yeah.
So please tune in Wednesday at 11 a.m. while we preview a actually pretty good slate of Thanksgiving games.
Very good slate.
Made more interesting by the fact that the Chiefs and the Cowboys overcame big deficits yesterday, but we'll get to that in a second. Show is brought to you by Underdog. If you want to get a free month of the FTN GOAT subscription that gets you all of our picks, all of our fantasy projections, and all of the DVOA stats, I have great news. We have worked with our friends at Underdog to hook you up. For a limited time, when you sign up on Underdog with our link or code FTN and play your first $5, you will get $100 in bonus bets plus a free month of FTN GOAT on us. There is no better way to gain access to DVOA, Stats Hub, and all the other awesome tools that FTN has to offer. Remember, sign up on Underdog, play your first $5, and our marketing team will be on the lookout to hook you up with a code for your free month of the GOAT subscription, greatest subscription of all time. That is promo code FTN on Underdog. Terms apply. All right, let's talk about the Rams before we take any questions, because we have to acknowledge how awesome the Rams are right now. They dominated last night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Rams are your new number one in DVOA. They are number one on both offense and defense, not by a lot, but by enough that they are number one overall. Only the 2001 Rams in the current version of DVOA finished a season number one in both offense and defense. In an older version, the 87 49ers did it, but in the new current version, they didn't. So just the Rams of 2001 and the Rams of right now, so far, the Rams of 2025.
Pretty good company for the Rams to be in right now.
Yeah.
I take it part of this, by the way, is that the Seahawks win wasn't impressive enough because they faced the Titans.
Yes, that's part of it. They had a close win over a bad team. But also the Rams, I mean, if they had played better offense in the second half, their lead would be even bigger. I know people are like garbage time, but as I've written about a number of times, garbage time is not as much time as you think it is. Like if you watched that game in the third quarter,
yes,
the Rams were still trying.
Right.
As evidenced by the fact that their defense was completely destroying the Buccaneers still in the third quarter, even though the offense wasn't getting anything going.
Poor Teddy Bridgewater. He could be coaching high school or something right now. He was out subjecting himself to that. But yeah, it's not like, well, the start of the third quarter can't really be garbage time. At the same time, that felt like a game that the Rams could have won like 56-14 if they really had to keep pushing in the second half.
We are now giving the Rams a 57% chance of the one seed.
Yeah.
And they win the Super Bowl in 27% of simulations, which I believe is better than Vegas. I think Vegas has them as the leader, but at +500. Whereas we have their odds as better than that. We tend to have the best team with better odds than Vegas does. You know, I have to tweak my formula to figure out why that is, but I mean, there's no question that we like some of the less established teams this year more than the Vegas odds do. I mean, we have the Seahawks and the Colts higher than and we have the Eagles and the Chiefs lower. But the Rams, we all agree on. The Rams are the number one. They are the Super Bowl favorites right now.
You don't price the market in. The house has to price the market in. DVOA doesn't have to price the market in and say, well,
that's definitely part of it with the Chiefs. I mean, there's no question that like people still believe in the Chiefs. We'll get to them in a second. But
right.
But yeah, the Rams are the best team in the league right now.
Stafford, front runner MVP, nothing to really talk about there.
Yeah. I've got something to say about the MVP race too when we get to the Colts. And about certain players who should not be MVP.
Quentin Nelson?
Certain players didn't ice the game in the fourth quarter yesterday. I don't
know. You want to make a list of players who didn't ice the game in the fourth quarter? We will be here all day.
Bill Houston wants to know, were the firings of Chip Kelly and Bowen, whose first name I forget, Shane Bowen, yes, the defensive coordinator in the New York Giants, warranted? The Giants have the fourth worst run defense ever measured by DVOA through 11 games.
Wow.
And that defense is 28th overall. And I know the problems in the secondary, and you know, linebacker got injured and McFadden and everything, but with that defensive line, they should not be 28th.
That's exactly it. That front four should put you in a position that no matter what happens, you're hanging around the middle of the field. You're putting yourself in position to win. And so many of the Giants' losses this year were games where they were leading in the fourth quarter, very competitive in the fourth quarter, and there was a meltdown kind of like what we saw yesterday.
As far as Chip Kelly goes, he was such an interesting hire because a lot of it had to do with the idea that in college he had really changed his style and he had really updated himself. And then, look, the Raiders suck. I don't know how much of Geno Smith falling through the floor you can really blame on Chip Kelly. But they took a running back sixth overall and carried the ball three times against Dallas or something. I mean, that's weird.
There's a lot of weird. And yesterday there was a lot of getting the ball to Janty on second and 28 and third and 31. If you really look at that, you'll be stunned at how many times his touches came in these impossible situations. Of course, you get into these impossible situations because Geno is taking 10 sacks and the offense is discombobulated. I don't think Kelly was doing a good job by any stretch. I don't know how you would argue that. There's politics in Las Vegas, guys. It's politics. It's
right. Carroll's sons are on the staff.
Yes. Yes. And Brady's lieutenants are sniffing around everywhere else. It's a weird.
It's complicated.
It's complicated. Hashtag.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in the offseason there, but it's complicated. Matthew Carley points out, which is true, we should note with the Rams, that Stafford is looking incredible for a guy who was trying to treat a ruptured disc with shiny lights in August.
10 comedy points, no notes. Absolutely right.
Let's talk about blown leads. The Dallas Cowboys win 24-21 over the Philadelphia Eagles. My relationship with Eagles fans this year is very strange because for a while there, I was taking a lot of crap on social media from Eagles fans who would not stop bothering me about the preseason projections and that the Eagles were so much better. I mean, even though I think our preseason projections had them sixth, the Eagles were so much better than the preseason projections. And how dare I say they were so angry that I said that the Eagles were going to decline.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like Eagles fans are so angry because the Eagles have declined when they really haven't declined that much. They're 8-3. They're 8-3. They dropped in DVOA this week to 8. They're 8-3 and they're 8. They're Super Bowl contenders still. Like, the amount of agita with the Eagles fans about the coaching staff is a little nuts.
My relationship with Eagles fans is that I'm afraid to go outside today.
Don't turn on your radio.
Jeez. I can't turn on my radio. I can't talk to my neighbors. It is absolute madness. And if anyone look at my Blue Sky timeline, it is on fire. It is engulfed in flames. And it's a matter of there is this big chasm between talking about real issues that the Eagles are having in various places with the scheme, maybe with some fourth down play calling, maybe with preparation, stuff like that. There's a big gap between that conversation and fire Nick Sirianni. And my personal favorite, see, they lost the Cowboys. That's proof that you should fire Nick Sirianni. It's like, if this loss had happened like in the NFC Championship game, you would have said the same thing. This is not a argument. This is anger. This is fury. And it's fury for an 8-3 team that we held a parade for 5 miles that way.
It really, there is a little bit also of that. Like, I remember when the Patriots were 9-7 in 2002, which is the thing that launched my career.
Right.
The whole reason I launched my career was trying to prove that the Patriots were not really that bad in 2002. The only person around here who was like, see, fire Belichick, was Ron Borges. Like, everybody else was like, we just won the Super Bowl. Isn't this wonderful? Okay, we're 9-7. What are you going to do? Like,
right.
The Eagles won the Super Bowl last year. They are now 10th on offense and 8th on defense. The defense is clearly playing much better in the last 3 weeks. The Jalen Phillips trade was great. Mm-hmm. The problem is rushing. You said in walkthrough today, you don't think Barkley is playing as well. My thing is, I think the offensive line is not as good this year. And you definitely saw the Lane Johnson for Fred Johnson switch in the second half in particular. There was that illegal hands to the face penalty on Fred Johnson. And they're not getting as much push in the running game.
Not getting as much push in the running game. I think that's part of it. But when you see this decline in Barkley, it's hard to say, well, it's 100% everything else and not Saquon Barkley. That's an odd thing to do. And, of course, his fumble was a big part of the turnaround of that game yesterday. By the way, my favorite stat that was thrown at me is, like, they scored 0 points against the Cowboys for 38 minutes. And I'm like, you know, all teams score 0 points during the periods in the game when they don't score points. They scored 21 before that. They were driving consistently in the fourth quarter and making mistakes. That's not a sane argument.
Yeah, our readers throw out which curse you like better. Did he get hit with the curse of 370 or did he get hit with the curse of Madden?
Or the curse of having a terrible Wawa hoagie.
And your offensive line just not blocking as well. I'm also going to point out that in the fourth quarter, the Cowboys recovered all three fumbles.
Yeah.
There was a fumble earlier in the game that the Eagles recovered.
Yes.
So when the chips were down in the fourth quarter, Barkley fumbled, Cowboys recover. Gibson fumbled, Cowboys recover. Ferguson fumbles right out of bounds.
Rolls right out of bounds. Correct. And there was a drop pass that looked like if it had bobbled, if the guy held onto it and dropped it, it would have been a recovery by Bond. There were a lot of situations like that. And like you said, one of the big ones was Eagles driving, get a 9-yard pass to Goddard, hands the face Fred Johnson, legitimate penalty, pushes you back 15, then you push back 5. Suddenly that drive is kaput.
Yes, so, and the only sack they took all game was the sack Hurts took that knocked them out of field goal range at the end.
Right. Which was gross, and like that's a bad decision by Hurts because that was a coverage sack that took forever. It's like you run to the side, throw it away, you give the option of maybe trying a long field goal or trying 4th-and-2. But he makes that mistake. Barkley makes a mistake. Gibson, I mean, come on, your punt returner does something unbelievably stupid. That's all that. I have a hard time getting from all of that to this team is in guttering jeopardy and needs to fire everybody and start over. I really can't find it.
Fraser Lamont says, do you expect, through both positive regression and return to full or near full health on the offensive line, that the Eagles' elite rushing offense will return for playoff time? Elite? No. What is the status with Lane Johnson? Is he coming back by playoffs?
He's not on IR. They are not doing surgery. So he's expected back before like the 4-week window.
Right. So that's a big one. But overall, even with Lane Johnson, they were not blocking as well as last year. So, I mean, positive regression, make things better. Yes. Back to elite. I don't.
Regression usually doesn't go back to elite.
Right.
it's kind of like not regression. That's a different
thing. The other big blown lead was the Colts. Chiefs win 23-20 in overtime. And this is where I want to talk about just quickly about Jonathan Taylor and the idea of Jonathan Taylor as the MVP. If you are going to vote for a running back as MVP, shouldn't that running back be able to salt away leads in the fourth quarter?
I would think 100%.
Now, some of it is they didn't give him the ball. So here's Jonathan Taylor in the fourth quarter in overtime. -2 yards on the first drive. Mm-hmm. No runs on the second drive. No runs on the third drive. And then in overtime, he got 5 yards and then lost 2 on 3rd-and-1.
That part of that is they took him away. I think he had one really good run. They took him away a lot during that game. The Colts were trying on first down to try and feed him the ball. And they were getting stuffed. They were putting themselves in a lot of 2nd-and-11s and things like that. That said, you're putting the ball in Daniel Jones's hands, you get what you get.
Yeah. I mean, they couldn't move the ball in the fourth quarter and overtime, like at all. Like it was just, I think it was 4 straight 3-and-outs.
It was something like that. Yeah, it was 4 straight or those one stray first down in there. They had the yips.
I mean, the part of me feels like it's just, you know, bad sequencing of plays, and the Colts offense is still fine, and they're still second in the league this year. But there is a little something to the idea of having the yips when the chips are down and when the pressure comes. And we know that Jones, except for the first 7 or 8 weeks of the season, Jones was not Jones is not good against pressure.
Right.
So I don't know what happens when the playoffs come. I mean, clearly the Vegas market believes when the playoffs come, the Colts will get the yips, because our odds have the Colts as a much better chance of making the Super Bowl than the Vegas odds do.
Right. I guess what I need to see, I saw a lot of evidence that the rebuilt secondary with Sauce and Ward was better against the Chiefs. And I need to see more of that. Let's see if that the Colts can use that to shut down the Jaguars and their insanity and weirdness and some of their other opponents in the stretch to come.
And my guess is that even though the Colts' offense was even more impotent at the end of the game than the Eagles' offense, that Colts fans are not all screaming about how Shane Steichen should be fired today.
Of course not. And part of that is they're enthusiastic for how this team has started, whereas they're not sort of like, you know, accustomed to victory the way Eagles fans are. On the other hand, it's just, well, that's normal. You lose big games, you lose road games, you know, and then you try to come back the next week. That's how football works. You can't fire the coach every time.
Yeah. And we said Thanksgiving really sets up really nicely. I mean, first Lions Packers. It's a great game. You and I both believe that the Bears are frauds.
Oh,
so we think Lions Packers is very important for the NFC North.
Yes.
Then Chiefs Cowboys.
Fun on a bun.
Where both teams are still fighting to stay in the playoff hunt. Mm-hmm. And then Bengals Ravens with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase probably back.
God. Even though they're at can I pull the playoff odds up here? Can you pull the playoff odds up? What are the Bengals playoff odds right now?
Non-existent.
No.
They're not making the playoffs. They're bringing Bengals back, Burrow back for fun, but I mean, they're not making the playoffs.
Because he wants to come back and he's a competitor.
I have the Bengals playoff odds at 1.3%.
1.3%. That's ridiculous. All of the, I mean, the Cowboys are now at 8.2. I think most of that is win the division, right? That's.
The Cowboys, I have, yes, most of it's wild card, actually.
Most of it's 7th seed wild card.
Division. Yeah.
Yeah, most of it's 7th seed wild card, even though like their tiebreakers are not phenomenal against teams like the Bears.
But. And Fraser Lamont wants to know what the Colts division win projected chances right now. We have the Colts winning the division at 75%.
Right.
17 for the Jaguars and 8 for the Texans.
Right, and I think the Texans are a bigger threat.
Well, I mean, they're 2 games back.
They're 2 games back.
But there's only 6 games left.
But they're not chaos goblins like the Jaguars.
But the Texans are better than the Jaguars. They're the better team than the Jaguars. Yes.
Right. It's just that they dug too deep a hole.
And then Friday, Black Friday, should be the Eagles get right game. Because, yes. Again, you and I both agree the Bears are frauds.
Right.
The Bears have a negative point differential. Now, I realize a lot of that is one game against the Lions.
Right.
But they also have the 31st ranked schedule so far behind only the Patriots.
And a defense that has faced J.J. McCarthy twice and now Mason Rudolph and Tyler Shuck and Cooper Rush. Like, you name it, the who's who of goofy quarterbacks, the Bears have gotten them. They've gotten turnovers against them. Caleb completes 53.6% of his passes. A couple of them go downfield. They get the win.
Yes. Iceman 6872 wants playoff odds changes based on the Thanksgiving Lions Packers game. Tune in on Wednesday and I'll have this. I haven't run them. I mean, I don't have them like right at my fingertips.
Turkey's still defrosting, guys. Turkey's still defrosting. We don't have them yet.
Ryan Dutter says, can we touch on how washed J.J. McCarthy looked yesterday? Normally, I am the great waiver of the flag of don't judge players after 1 year. I've never seen a player where the stats and the scouting people agree on the suck I've never seen a first round pick where the stats and the scouting agrees on how bad they are.
Yeah.
Like McCarthy.
Right. It's not so much that he's washed. It's that he was always just a phantom.
When other guys have started slow in their first years, I'm not talking about Josh Allen here, because everyone will be like, oh, Josh Allen. When like Jared Goff was horrific in his first year, even when like Blaine Gabbert was horrific in his first year,
right,
there were signs,
right,
that the talents were there.
Right,
there's nothing with McCarthy,
right, including the fact that he can't stay healthy. On top, like this extra layer on the cake is that you're going to try to count on him when he might get injured any given Sunday.
Reverse post game win expectancy games this week.
Okay,
the. Not very heavy. Giants were at 53% for their overtime loss to the Lions. And it's an interesting one because the field goal that the Giants didn't kick to go up six. Now, you know that I'm very much a fan of don't kick the field goal that goes up six.
Right.
I didn't realize it was on the 6-yard line.
6-yard line. So it's not fourth and goal from the two.
It's not fourth and goal from the one or two. Because when the Patriots did it, I think it was from the one.
Yes.
If they kicked the field goal to go up six.
Yes.
Some of the models still said to go for it, but I think some of the models said to kick the field goal, and they went for it instead.
They went for it. Yeah. And your fourth and goal from the six, a team with no receiving talent, with Jameis out there, the running game is not a factor because you need 6 yards for the touchdown. One timeout left for the Lions. And you know, if you make it, then they have to drive for a touchdown, and they're off.
There is admittedly a big difference between trying to get one or two and trying to get six, especially because the running game completely becomes a nothing.
Right. You can tee off on the quarterback. You can play coverage. You do not have to worry about play action, anything else like that in that situation. Instead, they go for it. 59-yard field goal by the Lions. The Lions needed a 59-yard field goal to tie the game and go to overtime. They didn't move the ball particularly well at that final drive. Giants put themselves in a position for Jahmyr Gibbs to just run past them.
Right. And Mass619 says, had they gone up six, the Lions would have had four downs to work with and more aggressive play calling. Yes, that's the reason why we usually talk about don't kick the field goal that goes up six.
Right.
Which, you know, I mean, teams got in trouble with yesterday. The Patriots kicked it and then won. The Giants didn't kick it and then lost. But in general, when you look at the probabilities, for the most part, you don't want to kick the field goal that goes up six. However, like I said, fourth and six is harder to get than fourth and one.
Right. You can take these to extremes. It could be fourth and goal from the 12 due to a penalty.
Right.
Like at what point do you say, oh, we're not going to go for it. You don't have Patrick Mahomes. You have Jameis Winston. You know, at what point do you say the raw odds aren't?
Touchdown receiver, Jameis Winston, by the way.
Touchdown receiver breaking tackles. After the scrambling Gunnar Osleski escape coverage.
The other close game, by the way, the Ravens were at 54% for their win over the Jets. So that was not reverse post-game win expectancy, but that's pretty close.
Pretty close. They goofed around for a while.
Jackson is injured.
Jackson is stumbling around. Yes, he's his third highest sack rate in the NFL right now. Has the lowest rushing average of his career. It's not normal Lamar Jackson right now.
Let's count up the weighted DVOA top 12. Here we go. Baltimore is at 12.
Climbing up.
Speaking of Lamar Jackson, playing tonight, the San Francisco 49ers are at 11.
All right.
Buffalo 10.
And fading.
Houston 9.
And rising.
Philadelphia down to 8.
Fire everyone.
Denver 7.
Okay.
Green Bay 6. And complicated.
Like you say the Packers and I just freeze. Like they're like the Eagles without the scorn. You know, it's all defense and then like, you know, vibes and things.
Kansas City 5.
Of course.
Detroit 4.
Yeah.
Colts still at 3.
Yeah.
Seattle 2. Mm-hmm. And the Los Angeles Rams, your new clear number 1.
Nothing feels weird at the top there. That all sounds, you know.
I mean, again, I have Seattle higher than other power ratings, which has to do with some of the intricacies of DVOA, plus down weighting turnovers. Because the Seahawks have a lot of turnovers, and I weight those down a little bit. But, I mean, I don't think it's a crazy idea to say the Seahawks are the second best team.
No.
Bill Houston says, where are the Patriots? 17th.
With a bullet.
Yeah, again, no bias. I am a Patriots fan. I'm enjoying this. I am enjoying this ride. It is so much fun to watch them win game after game. But that was not impressive.
it's not me. All you Patriots fans who come at me on the socials, I rank them like 12th or 13th. So don't come at me. It's him.
I mean, look, subjectively, if you consider more recent play as a stronger, and then if you think about that, the most important thing is the quarterback because that's the most consistent. Whatever. Yeah, I'd put them like 12th or 13th.
Right. And then you start factoring in, well, are we talking about development and saying we're building a foundation? Obviously. Then that's a different conversation than saying, oh, this year they're unstoppable. It's just 2007 or whatever's being said out there in Foxborough.
Yeah. Frazier Lamont wants to know who's 32. I believe it's still Tennessee.
Right. They played tough yesterday.
Monday Night Football, the 6-5 Panthers at the 7-4 49ers. Now, the Panthers are very low in DVOA. They're only 26th. The Panthers have a minus 42 point differential and a winning record. Panthers make the playoffs 27% of the time with a win, 13% with a loss. But I have no idea about the Baker Mayfield injury.
Right. That's a big difference maker.
I included it in some of the Sims have a Baker Mayfield injury and some don't, but none of them have Baker out for the whole year, and I have no idea what's going to happen with that.
I don't have an update yet.
49ers, 85% of the time make the playoffs with a win, 59% of the time with a loss. I feel like they have a gigantic number 7 next to their name. That is their seed. They are the 7th seed.
Depending on if the NFC North gets weird with somebody like winding up 10-7.
The 49ers defense has completely imploded since everybody got hurt. I mean, you know, they've had all those injuries. The difference is on offense, everybody's come back except for Ayuk, who seems to be a basket case. Well, on defense, Bosa for the whole year, Warner for the whole year, Michael Williams for the whole year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the defense is bad.
Panthers have a pretty clean injury report, although they have to make another change on the offensive line. They're switching centers. I believe Carl Mays is coming in. Corbett is coming back in at center for them. Young has been dealing with injuries. He's going to play. Whether he's limping around like Lamar Jackson is unclear. Tet McMillan's been dealing with injuries. He will play. The Panthers are kind of good at if you're having one of your bad games, they're going to find a way to snipe you. But if you just go out there and play your normal game against the Panthers, for a team like the 49ers, you should get the win.
The Panthers have some pretty crazy defense versus receiver splits. They are number one against running backs, which you would think would be a really great strength to have against Christian McCaffrey and the 49ers.
Sure.
They're number 32 against tight ends, which is a really bad weakness to have against George Kittle and the 49ers.
Yes. That is a weird 1-2 punch. And their corners look good until they don't
use Horn to follow wide receiver one, and they're bad against wide receiver one and great against wide receiver two, and it doesn't seem to have anything to do with specific cornerback.
No, it doesn't, because Horn will have like a great game and then fall down 4 times in the next game. You can't really count on him.
I mean, I forgot to write down what the line is here, but I'm going 49. I'm just not a believer in this Panthers team. They've gotten clobbered. I mean, the Patriots clobbered them. The Bills clobbered them. That's not the Rams. Like, those are good teams, but not.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're riding on this Packers win and the fact that they beat Atlanta in overtime. It's not.
Right. And then they smoked Atlanta in like one of the Penix meltdown games. And if the Panthers win, it usually, you look at it afterwards and they did something like went 4 of 5 on third and forever. Like, usually the Panthers win. It's either Rico just went hog, which is really only 1 or 2 games, or you had them stopped 4 times on 3rd and 10, and there were Houdini plays. If you take that away, you usually beat the Panthers.
BD Brope says the line is currently San Francisco -7.5. Well, that's a tough number because you're like, well, you know, 7, the Panthers, backdoor, you know.
They're right on the line, right on
the line. I still think the 49ers.
I'd probably take it, but like I'm probably not going to. I'd consider it.
I'll take one more question from Owen. Are the Steelers playoff odds in the gutter now? And is Tomlin a replacement level coach or worse now? We have the Steelers playoff odds at 39%.
Yes.
So they are not in the gutter. They still win the division about a third of the time in simulations.
Right. They're tied for the division lead with the series coming up against the Ravens. So they can't be
that. There's not. It's not. And I don't think Tomlin is suddenly a below replacement level coach. I think, at a certain point, there's only so much you can do with Mason Rudolph and one receiver.
Right.
And the problems that they have with the inside linebackers haven't been that good this year, and the Darius Slay got old, and I don't think Jalen Ramsey's as good as he used to be, and it's a lot of issues.
Yeah, you guys have a warped idea of what replacement level coaching is.
Yeah,
not to single you out for asking the question and all, but like fans in general, we'll talk about Eagles fans, we'll talk about Bills fans, talk about Ravens fans, Steelers fans. Yeah, the warped perception. I'm sorry, some of you guys, of what bad coaching looks like.
And Tomlin has always been an interesting guy because in the things that people like me normally care about, he's bad.
Right.
Like all the analytics stuff. But he is. I feel like I don't know every story of George Allen and Marv Levy and John Madden. But I feel like if Mike Tomlin is not the greatest manager of a locker room personalities of any coach in NFL history, he's pretty close to the top.
Look at it this way. You didn't hear a boo from Aaron Rodgers until he flipped off the reporter this week. When have you ever gone until mid-November with Aaron Rodgers just being a normal person? That's got to be something.
Owen says a failure to exploit Bears backup linebackers yesterday was really frustrating. Well, don't blame that on Tomlin, because if there's any coach in the NFL who doesn't take a role in the scheming on either side of the ball, it is Mike Tomlin.
And if there's any coach in the NFL who's marching to the beat of his own drummer and putting number 74 in the backfield at fullback for multiple plays and not changing his weird dipsy doodle model train set game plan because the other team has like eight guys out on defense, it's Arthur Smith.
Yeah. you need to know which coaches are taking a role in the play calling and stuff on offense and which, Tomlin is a defensive mind originally, right, but he's not part of the play calling on either side of the ball. John Harbaugh is another guy like that. John Harbaugh is not playing a role in the scheming on either side of the ball.
Right, and you can argue that Tomlin in the past has been too loyal to assistants, that these assistants kind of hang around for years, and there's probably a case to be made for that, and maybe that's a case for Arthur Smith, but again, this is an offense that also went from having to protect a 40-year-old who can't move to just tossing Mason Rudolph out there again for the 15th time, again, with DK Metcalf and a bunch of 290-pound tight ends as the playmakers.
All right, folks, don't forget at ftnfantasy.com, we've got the Black Friday sale, so stuff is on sale. Check out all the socials for the codes. I don't remember the code. Turkey, I believe it's code Turkey.
Turkey.
I think it's 25% off. So if you want to get the stats hub with the DVOA and all of the splits, man and zone and one high versus two high and all the charting stuff, ftnfantasy.com, Black Friday sale. We will be back on Wednesday at 11 a.m. Yeah. We're doing Wednesday this week rather than Thursday. Same thing for Christmas and New Year's when we get to that. All the holidays are on Thursday this year. So until then, he's Mike Tenier. I'm Aaron Schatz. Enjoy Monday Night Football, and we'll talk to you in 2 days. So long.